So actually, if I could, before I start this morning, I wanted to begin on a slightly administrative note Melissa brought up to me last week. All right, moving on. So that out of the way, I do need to start my sermon this week with something in the way of a disclaimer. If there's any fans of Dumbo or any children's stories with endearing portrayals of elephants, you might find this slightly disturbing. Keep in mind these are hypothetical elephants I'm going to talk about today, so just focus on the message and not on the poor critters. So that said, there's an expression that's really common, at least in my work life, when you look at tasks and challenges, and it asks the question, how do you eat an elephant? I don't know if anyone's ever heard this before, but how you eat an elephant, the answer is one bite at a time. Now, this is conventional wisdom and doesn't necessarily follow biblical truth. The meaning of it is that you're supposed to approach your problems as an individual, one step at a time, methodically. But much like a lot of other conventional wisdom that we get from the world and not from the Word, at closer examination, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And first of all, the chances that an elephant is going to spoil before you can finish eating it is pretty good. Quick Google search tells me that the world record for eating steak is held by Molly Schumler, who ate 72 ounces in one sitting. That's for the young men back there. That's a really expensive date, so you want to watch out for ladies like that. But at this rate, it would take 3.5 years to finish, and I don't think that's a very realistic way of approaching the problem of an elephant that you need to consume, right? So I doubt that's going to work for anybody. And additionally, the same logic does not work very well because after 3.5 years of consuming elephant constantly every day, you're going to get sick of it and not be able to complete the task at hand. So what does the Word say about how to approach a problem or an obstacle or even a blessing? So the first thing that we really need to do is you take a look at, well, what kind of dead elephant situation are we looking at here? So I'm in my own life, I'm not anxious to have to deal with a 6,000-pound dead animal. This is not a blessing for me. But perhaps if I were a tribesman in Africa and starving, or if this was my meal of choice, this could be a tremendous blessing. And really, the same approach in either case is what the Bible prescribes. Now, it's should be clear at this point that the elephant is entirely symbolic. But the metaphor does have a solution in the Bible. So if you look closely, you do have instructions on how to eat an elephant in here. Just got to read between the lines a little bit. So most often, we're going to look at this elephant as an obstacle or a challenge. But let's take a look at it as a blessing. So because of our nature, we don't really have any difficulty imagining major challenges happening to us, right? We all face them every day. So we'll move on past that, at least for the time being. Now, blessings and challenges, they tend to go hand in hand. If you're challenged, God has an equal blessing to allow you to overcome that challenge. So does God promise us big elephant-sized blessings in our life? Well, if we look at Psalms 23, and I'm sure we're mostly familiar with it, but it says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head, my cup runneth over." And then Luke 6:38, I'll give you a chance to turn to it if you'd like. This is another passage that we've talked about many times here before. It says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. With the same measure ye meet, withdrawal shall be measured unto you again." So we know that God is in the business of blessing us tremendously. And we know that God is going to be faithful to what he's promised us that he's going to do. Psalms 119 says that thy faithfulness is unto all generations, and thou hast established the earth and abide in it. So he's promised it, and he's promised to be faithful to the things that he's promised. So we know that these kinds of blessings are going to happen to us. But you don't see most people walking around with an awareness of it or exercising in their life with an understanding that they are blessed in such a way. So the good news is that these blessings are coming. Now, if you're following like a prosperity teaching where you've decided what your blessings ought to be, you might be missing what God's really blessed you with. You see, God does not bless us all the same ways. I would love that God blessed me as a millionaire. I think it would be fantastic, but it's God's plan and not mine. So it's possible that if I were blessed in that way, that it would create some sort of barrier to what God really has in store. Perhaps the money would prevent me from turning to God when need be. Perhaps it would prevent me from being able to empathize with those I was supposed to be ministering to or fellowshipping with. So you can't decide what God ought to bless you with. You see, when God says that the pot doesn't ask of the potter, why hast thou made me thus? This is what we're talking about. So you can ignore your own blessings very easily by looking at the blessings you'd rather have. And there's real folly in this. Because if you're not using the blessing that you've been given, it will spoil. It's the same as the case of the large elephant. If you ignore the elephant in the room, which you're never going to be able to put that to good use when it feeds the village, right? So what do we do with these blessings? I mean, first you have to be aware of it. You have to look for what God has given you, not what he hasn't given you. There's a lot of reactions when you do come into a significant blessing. What are you going to do? One part of nature is you're going to store it away for a rainy day. And if you look at the book of Exodus, the example of the manna from heaven, you see, God engineered that blessing to teach people to rely on him and not to hoard things and put it away. If they collected the manna and tried to save it away for another day, it spoiled and it was ridden with worms and smelled foul, and there was no benefit to doing that. See, what we're supposed to do, both in the case of the elephant or any other blessing, is that we're supposed to share it with one another. God has given it to us for some work. Proverbs 11:26 says that he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So if you have some talent or some ability to serve that God has bestowed you with, and you're not sharing it with those around you, if you're not sharing it back with God, because it's really his anyways, there is no blessing tied to it. Peter says that as every man hath received, even so minister to the same to one another, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, we're like bad servants if we don't use what God has given us. So another folly that we can run into when we look at our blessings in our life is to simply ignore what God's given you. So a lot of people would be ignorant and say that God hasn't granted me any abundance that I could be sharing. But if you look back to what it says in Psalms, it says that your cup runneth over. It doesn't say that God gives you merely enough. It's more than enough. It's in abundance. So if there's anyone who doubts what the Bible says, then you're missing the point, right? So you can't sit in your own self-misery and look at the things that you don't have and say that I'm not blessed sufficient enough to be able to share what I have back with God and back with the congregation, with my neighbors, with my friends, with the strangers and the populace that I should be sharing the mission with. God says that you are blessed in that capacity. You just have to make sure that you're looking for your blessings the way that you've been blessed and not try to share blessings that are others. So if you're barely making ends meet, and you can't support anything financially, well, then that isn't the blessing that you're intended to be sharing. Perhaps you are someone who has the opportunity to reflect on God's word and to understand and to be able to share God's word. Well, that is a blessing that you are called to then share. So we can't be ignorant of God's blessings. So if we would, let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. And I apologize, stuff didn't wind up in the bulletin. But I want to look at an example from the Bible that really shows, and we're going to do verses 1 through 7, that really shows God's ability to bless, as well as our own ability to ignore God's blessings in our life. It says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come, and take unto him my sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, hast thou anything in thy house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not a thing in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad from all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour into these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass that the vessels were full, and she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live and thy children of the rest. So here's an example of someone who has both kinds of these metaphorical elephants in her life. She has a tremendous obstacle. She is in substantial debt to the point that her children are going to be taken from her and sold into slavery to satisfy the debt. That's a serious problem. That is an obstacle to overcome in a very big way. But in her desperation, what she fails to see is that she's also blessed tremendously. So she has this pot of oil, and one would assume from reading this story that olive oil was much more valuable in these days than it is now. It was sufficient to satisfy the debt that she had. But more than that, what she had is the blessing of God. Because you understand, she asks Elisha what she should do. He does nothing for her that God hasn't already done. He's not providing her with money to pay off the debt. He's not providing her with valuable means to make the money. She already has it. She has oil in what she also has. And this is the important part for a congregation like ours. She has neighbors who, if we look at this, we see nowhere that they objected to helping her by providing their own oil pots and their own oil to assist in her problems. And if you look at this, she initially likely took the first approach that I've mentioned, which is the one bite at a time approach to trying to solve her problem herself. You know, it stands to reason that before she pleaded to a prophet, that she would have tried to satisfy the debt on her own, likely making small payments over time, that very methodical one bite at a time approach. And when you face a massive problem, you don't have the ability to be able to take it on one step at a time. You have to turn to God. And that's really what was prescribed here. God used Elisha, and he used her neighbors and friends to provide her what she needed to be able to satisfy this massive problem in her life. I'm not sure in reading this, I wouldn't claim to have any insight more than what the words say, if this is an actual miracle, or is it really just the vessels spread out that way? Was it her own ignorance that prevented her from seeing it? In either way, whether you understand it one way or the other, it makes no difference. God still provided her actually what she needed, and this is a case where she was missing the blessing that she had. She was clearly a godly woman, the wife of a prophet herself, who had learned to trust the Lord, but in her own desperation had turned away. You see, if we look at the blessing we have through Jesus Christ, we can see that while we do face major obstacles, it is trumped by what we have through Jesus. There are things that we'll face. There are massive obstacles, and we can try through our own power to try to whittle away with it a piece at a time, but it simply is not always going to be the solution. Clearly, God equips us to be able to handle some of our smaller situations. If she owed the baker for several loaves of bread or something like that, I doubt she'd be in a situation where her children were going to be taken and sold into slavery to satisfy the debt. We're talking about a massive debt, and it isn't clear how it was incurred. Her husband, who is now deceased at this point, had engaged into it. She probably lost her means suddenly and could not satisfy it. So when you face this massive thing, you don't look at it as, what can I do? You have to turn your focus away from your own means and your own abilities to the real blessings that are in your life, whether it be God directly intervening by miraculously filling pots of oil, or whether it have been utilizing those around you who God placed there for you to help satisfy. As a community and as a congregation, we need to ask ourselves the question, are we asking our neighbor for their oil pots when we're in need? Or are we trying to go it on our own? Because we do ourselves an incredible disservice if what we attempt to do is to simply make our own way. The world will tell you that, be your own man. They'll tell women you want to be a young, independent woman of the day. Neither of these things are true. I don't want to be my own man. I don't want my sons to be their own man. And I don't want my daughter to be an independent woman. I want them to be young people who learn to rely on God. And if that means relying on those around them who God has bound them to through the fellowship of this community, then that's what it means. You see, relying on your own strength and following these practices, you can't accomplish an insurmountable goal. It isn't even possible. But the bigger question, I think, for us as a church is, not only was she blind to her ability to resolve the situation through what God had given her, but one has to ask the question is, what of her neighbors? Did they not see the dead elephant at her doorstep? Did they not know? It seems unlikely that anyone amongst us could be in a situation where their children are going to be sold into slavery and that the others in this room would not have any idea that that was going to happen. So if that's true, I think that we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing? How are we doing what the Bible says and taking our blessings and using it for the good of God, forwarding His word and His mission? I mean, there's need. There is need everywhere. And to be able to say that I don't see it, it seems unlikely. We have to be courageous, and we have to go against what the world tells us to be able to support one another and to be able to ask one another when the time comes. See, we've been raised as very proud people in this country. It's an American trait for sure, where we value being able to do things on your own, where we value independence and not being a taker. Now, I'm not advocating a welfare state or anything to that effect, but what I'm saying is when you need help, God has placed us together. I mean, if there's anyone who doubts that this is God's will, that God has put you where He wants you to be, you need to take a closer look. God is in control. So if God's in control, we are here together because that's where He wants us. And if He has us here together, then there's a plan for it. So those who are in need need to make themselves known, and those who are also in this congregation need to take a look and say, what blessings do I have that might satisfy the need of my brothers and sisters in Christ? Because it's something that I think as New Englanders especially, we have a tendency to turn a blind eye to. So back to my original point, I would say that how do you eat an elephant? The adage of one bite at a time is wildly inaccurate. Well, the way you eat an elephant is you invite your friends and neighbors and the whole village together to consume it with you. Because the blessing is wasted if we're talking about a blessing. If it's not shared, it'll simply spoil. If we're talking about an obstacle, it is not overcomable on your own. And I think we can pray to God for a solution, but if God has provided us with the solution right here in amongst ourselves, he's already answered our prayers. So I would ask everyone be mindful of that. As you pray to God for a solution, if the solution sits in this room with you, just ask that God move in the hearts and minds of those who are the right people, the ones that God has uniquely blessed for any given situation, that we could work together and resolve things. I think fellowship is something that we sometimes lack in. It's uncomfortable sometimes to stick your neck out and say, I observe that you're suffering. I think that I can help you. But at the same token, when someone approaches you in that fashion, our own pride often leads us to say, well, no, thank you. No, I'm just fine. Or in New England, I'm all set. It's something where our own culture, and if you look at what Pastor Branch shared with us today, as believers, we know that it's not right, but our culture, we can't overcome it, much in the same way that they have believers in South Africa who apparently won't use the blessing of a watering hole during a massive drought because they're believers, yet they also believe that a witch doctor has cursed it. We can't have it both ways. We need to give up on our own upbringing and culture to a certain extent and instead rely on what the Bible says, and it's very clear. So I apologize for being maybe a little bit brief in this week's message, but I think that this is worth reflecting on. Everyone needs to take a look around and say, well, what kind of elephants do I have at my doorstep? Do I have an obstacle that I'm, you know, shielding my eyes from and that I'm not dealing with because I don't think that I'm sufficiently blessed to be able to handle it? Do I have those others around me who are in tremendous need or are facing an obstacle that I could assist with? I would ask that each person leaves this week and goes and reflects on this passage, because honestly, I wasn't real familiar with it. I think there's a real lesson here about how to minister to one another, how to meet one another's needs, how to turn to God in your time of need, and how to recognize your own blessings. It's very substantive. So I will leave you with that this week. And in closing, I would ask that we turn to our hymnal. So I'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together, and I pray that perhaps maybe something that you gave me to say today would help people and they could take it with them this week and consider it and maybe use it to grow closer to you. And if anybody doesn't have any clue what I'm talking about or has questions, I pray that you would ask them to reach out and speak to me or one of the other deacons or Pastor George when he returns so that they could understand who you are and what you can do in their lives, Lord. I ask that you strengthen this congregation, that we would overcome all our obstacles together and move forward and follow your word. I ask all these things in your name, Lord. Amen.